It's so good to be together in God's house this morning to worship Him. And as you look at your bulletin this morning, you'll note we have quite a few announcements. It was so good to have our children here to open us up to praise God and to encourage us in way of their ministry. We also are called of God to minister in His name. And all these announcements here before you this morning in our bulletin are just reminders of how the church is engaging our world and also encouraging us to live out our lives for Christ. You can see here that we have Sunday school classes. Our annual general meeting is today. So if you're a member here at Westwood Alliance Church, you're more than welcome to come and join us. And if you want to see what membership involves and what AGM involves, annual general meeting, you're welcome to come even this afternoon to see what that's all about. That'll be at 2:30 here in the sanctuary, involving all three congregations. Also, you notice that we have a baptism and membership class, and that's today as well during our Sunday school hour. And I'll be teaching that class upstairs along with my regular class, so it's part of the foundations class that I've been teaching. And so this Sunday is on baptism, and next Sunday will be on membership. So if you want to involve yourself in membership here at Westwood, you're warmly welcome to join us next Sunday in the afternoon, or sorry, not in the afternoon, in the morning in the Sunday school class. If you're interested in baptism, please join us upstairs at about 11:30, and try not to take too long during the coffee time, because we have quite a bit of material to cover. So that's 11:30 for us and upstairs for our baptismal class and also our foundations class. Also, you'll note in number 5 here that Pastor Tim is joining us as a volunteer pastor here at Westwood Alliance Church. And I'm going to invite him and Linda up to the stage so you know who they are. And I'm going to say some things about them. They weren't prepared for that. We go back quite a long ways, Tim and Linda and myself and Wendy. We actually met when we were at school in Regina, Saskatchewan, of all places. And Tim was a student along with myself at seminary. And then he took over from Jeffrey Louis at Regina Chinese Alliance Church. And Wendy and I attended the Regina Chinese Alliance Church way back then, so we've known each other probably close to 30-some-odd years or something like that, so it's been quite a while. Tim and Linda have since been senior pastor and CMO over at Burnaby Alliance Church, and they've been there for quite a long period of time as well. So Tim and Linda are in our neighborhood, and they've been making Westwood their home. Tim has taught a class this past summer and is going to continue in teaching ministry here at Westwood, both on our English side and our Cantonese side particularly. And then they'll also be taking over in some of the responsibilities for preaching, both on the Cantonese side and the English side as well. So let's bow our heads and just commit them to the Lord this morning as they join us on pastoral staff. Lord, we thank You for both Tim and Linda, and we thank You for the blessing of having them here as part of our congregations at Westwood. We pray for them as they have seen fit to join us on our pastoral staff team. And Lord, thank You for the wide variety of experience that You have blessed them with in their life's journey. We pray as they join us to journey together here at Westwood, that You would encourage them and strengthen them for their ministry here amongst us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name this morning. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. God's blessing. Well, you can see here we have a lot of other announcements, and I'm not going to spend an inordinate amount of time talking to you about those announcements, but please avail yourselves of the various things that are happening here at Westwood. I would want to just mention just to you that we've had quite a large fire if you're not aware, in the Coquitlam area on Glenn and Johnson just this past week. And so there's been a real groundswell to raise funds, finances, donations to help out people that have suffered in that fire. Pretty close to over 100 people were displaced over that. And there was even two families in our Mandarin congregation that were actually living in that locale. So we, through our benevolent fund, have been able to help those two families out on our Mandarin side. And we're wanting to continue to help out with using some of our benevolent funds to use to defray some of the cost these people, the victims of the fire, have been suffering. So we know that it's going to stretch out probably even over a couple of months, 6-7 months for them. So they're looking for housing and clothing and different things. If you're aware and you've been reading the newspaper or heard on the news, there is a location by the Bottle Depot on Falcon and Loheed, not too far from here, that is taking donations in way of clothing and other things. We're going to continue to help in way of using some more monies in way of our benevolent funds. But if you know of anybody that is involved in this or has had some difficulty because of this, please bring it to our attention as pastors. We would love to be able to be of an assistance to them. So if you know any personally people that have been involved in this, through kids that go to school or yourselves, please do come and talk to us. All right, on that note, let's look at the scriptures this morning. And this morning we're going to be looking at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 13 to 21 this morning. So as you turn there this morning in 1 Peter, I just want to encourage you, if you have not looked up or had an involvement in reading Roy Hessian's book, The Calvary Road, it's an excellent book and a book that we're trying to encourage all to pick a copy up and have a read of and keep a track of with the sermon messages over the course of the next 6-7 messages. We'll all be kind of staged through this book. So if you would like, there is still 6 copies left that I have in my office that I hope that Joanne would be able to still pass out to you, and to a very reasonable cost as well. So just a reminder to, if you haven't, to continue to read and to be kept up to date in way of Roy Hessian's book, The Calvary Road. So this morning, we're looking at this passage in 1 Peter. And 1 Peter talks to us specifically, historically, in context, in way of some great difficulty that the church was undergoing. Peter was writing from, no doubt, Rome at the time, in AD 63. And at that time, Nero was on the throne in Rome. And so he was breathing out persecution and all kinds of travesty upon the people that were naming themselves as Christians at that time. So that's kind of the historical context. And as we come to this book of 1 Peter, we're very much aware that the book begins in note of hope. And I believe that Peter was very much wanting to encourage the church at that time, be hopeful in the midst of a very difficult time of persecution. But then follows in this section in 1 Peter 1, verse 13 to 21, a passage that talks a lot about holiness. And we might think, well, why was he addressing holiness and concerned about holiness with the church at that point? Well, I believe very strongly that both hope was necessary because the attack of Satan upon the church was through the persecution of the church, But also there was a need for holiness within the church in way of what was in the general context of the culture of that day. There was a lot of pagan temples. There was a lot of worship of deities at that time that prized pleasure, prized going after selfish intent. And so this was the general gist of what the people were living in. So really, Satan was giving a two-pronged attack upon the church, that being a need for the church to be in hope in midst of persecution, and also in way of being holy before God and before all the people that were in their context of being in their community. And so, very importantly for the church, we come to this passage and know what Roy Hessian has in this chapter 4 of his book talking about holiness. Roy mentions that holiness is not something new or astounding in way of doctrine, but is quite unspectacular, really, because it's supposed to be really the very very trademark of what we are as Christians, is to be holy. He talks about it in the closing remark and saying this is, a revival is just you and I walking along the highway in complete oneness with the Lord Jesus and with one another, with cups continually cleansed and overflowing with the life and the love of God. The highway is a play on words here, I believe, that pictures a low way, which is a secular pagan way to live, and a higher way, a higher plane, to live our lives to the glory of God. The Christian is to live differently, in a way that brings about different results in their life. There are three imperatives in this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 21. This means there are three commandments, particularly, that we are going to draw our attentions to today. These give us understanding and way of a sense of victory, a sense of Christian life that is holy before God and before each other. Well, these three imperatives this morning is to live a full hope, secondly, to live in godly holiness, in verse 15, and verse 17, to live in reverent fear. Well, first of all, we want to draw our attention to what it means to live in full hope. And I'm very much aware that we've talked about that already in last week's sermon on Hebrews chapter 12, and Hebrews chapter 10. And in that chapter, we heard or understood that we are to hold on to hope, where here I believe that hope is put to us in way of a fullness, a weightiness of hope that we are to abide in. It's a hope, again, that overflows our cup, so to speak. This is a confidence in an all-satisfying Lord and God. In other words, Peter wants us to feel profoundly and deeply confident in the final outcome of the revelation of Jesus Christ in our hearts and our lives. Hope is our means of experiencing God's grace in our current life situations. And obviously, in that church at that time, Peter was writing to give the church hope under a weight of persecution and trial and difficulty. And maybe yourself, you're looking at your life and you're facing some trials and difficulties. We are to fully hope, not mildly or so-so, but a full hope. If we have no hope in the future, if we have no hope in your future, there is no power in the present. I love that quote, and I have it for you here on the slide. We need to have a full hope in our future, and Christ offers us that. For the Christian, our life's power comes in our faith and our hope in the teeth of some trying difficulties and even persecution. A man approached a little league team and saw the scoreboard there, and there was a one little gaffer warming up at the bat, and he said to the kid at the bat, "Boy, you guys got a tough go. You must be really discouraged because look at the score. It's 18-0. The little kid looked at the grown-up and he said, "Well, sir, you know, I'm very optimistic because this is our first time up at bat. And so, you know, 18-0, we're going to come right back." And when I thought of that, I thought, wow, that's what we should be as Christians in way of looking at our future. We might be down 18-0. We might be look like we're down and out, but that's not the end of the story, folks. We have an eternity to live in which we live for God and know God and serve God. And so we have a brilliant future. In Christ, we have to be eternal optimists, not counting up our losses here and now as if they were significant, but looking towards that future, looking towards a future that is glorious with Jesus Christ. We have a totally different accounting and measurement system, a totally different one. Its measurements and its weights are in way of this life very light, but way in eternity is really heavy. And something that we ought to draw strength from is that we have a glorious future, a wonderful future. And so when we get down, when things are difficulty and the trials get hot and difficult here and now, we can say, man, this is nothing compared to what we gain in heaven, what we gain in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul was all about when he writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. I have it posted here for you. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." You hear the weight that Paul puts, the figuring that he does in way of these things in this earth, the things that we suffer, the trials that we go through, he counts them as less than nothing, ultimately to be tossed out on the garbage heap. But yet those things that he's striving for in the future, in way of his relationship with God, his glorious hope that he has, man, that's worth living for and pushing through all the difficulty. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 3 says this, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you die, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." It's only by the Holy Spirit's enablement that we can truly gain such an accounting practice to weigh the things of eternity, to weigh the things not of this earth as far more weighty than the things of the earth. It's from our abiding hope and faith that I believe that the two next imperatives that Peter levels at us are built upon. So the hope is there, and it garners for us a sense of what we must move into in way of holiness, in way of serving God. At verse 15, it talks about, "Be holy, for I am holy." To be holy in all that we do in way of our conduct. It's not simply a matter of reflection in way of a positive understanding of holiness in our lives or a saying that, yes, Jesus has procured for us holiness. Indeed, there is that in way of our position in Christ, but that sets us apart as Christians to strive after holiness as well. The logic is simple in these verses. Children become like unto the parent when we talk about holiness. Children become like unto the parent. The Father, the Heavenly Father, is our Father. The one that we are aspiring after. The one that is directing. And we as our children, as His children, are seeking to be obedient to Him. Our holiness is to be worked out in our lives. Verse 13 reveals that we have gained entrance into God's family through His grace. Verse 14 talks about a replacement of our former life and ignorance about God and His holiness. And that knowledge of who God is and His holiness spurs us on to become holy as He is holy. And verse 15 finally calls us towards holiness in our very lives to be holy. Calling is this idea that Peter uses again and again in his epistle. And I have some of those markings there for you this morning. I believe Peter was marked considerably when he was called by Jesus to drop his net and to come follow Him. I believe that that calling of Jesus upon Peter's life reconstituted his whole life. What he was all about before, a fisherman, now he was not fishing for fish, but fishing for the souls of men. That call upon his life constituted him so that he followed Jesus wherever he went and learned the trade of seeking to win people for God and to help them to know who God was. So in verse 15, it says we are called to be holy. 1 Peter 2:9, we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:21, we are called to suffer and to follow Christ's example. 1 Peter 3:9, in the midst of persecution, we are called to inherit a blessing. In 1 Peter 5:10, we are called to His eternal glory. God has called us to Himself. And in so doing, He has engaged us in a calling to be holy. God's holiness is an essential part of His nature. So if we want to get close to God, we also must be holy like He is holy. I believe we engage God in way of a transformational process. We have an unshakable hope in what He has procured for us in giving us His Son, Jesus, to die upon a cross to make us righteous in position in Christ. But even more so as Christians, our main desire and our soul's content is to become holy as He is holy, to desire righteousness, to long for that in our life's walk. Our perfection, of course, is not in this life. We can never truly be perfectly holy before God. There's only one man that was perfectly holy, and His name was Jesus Christ. But yet that shouldn't stop us from desiring that and seeking that in our lives. We begin in a transformational process. We engage holiness in all of our choices to make us draw closer to God. God engages us to make us creatures of heaven more so than creatures of this earth. We are meant to be partakers and partners with Him in the process of creation and transformation. That being our very own lives. We are partakers and partners with Him as we seek to make over our lives as holy lives dedicated to Him. He is not a heavenly version of Santa Claus, and I take this in way of looking at our third point this morning in way of coming to God in reverent fear. What's that all about? Reverent fear. Why does Peter talk to us about wanting to follow God, but follow God in reverent fear? Well, this morning the calling God puts upon us comes from Him as both Father and Judge. Father and Judge seems like a paradox, two polarities that are extreme opposites to us. How could we look to God as a Father, but then also see Him as a judge? Peter wants us to hold those two extremes within our hearts and our lives and our mindset in way of how we are to live out our lives. Not in seeing God just as a Santa Claus in heaven that is winking you know, trying to cajole us, giving us nice gifts, giving us a thumbs up all the time. God is about being our judge as well. And so in being our judge, appraising our lives, coming to us and assessing us as one that comes to us as a judge in way of weight and saying to us, hey, how are you living? And will judge us accordingly, according to his holiness and righteousness. If that be the case, then we as Christians bring our work before God, the service we make before God, as one that is going to be our judge. This is not a judge in way of the how the world judges us, or how the world views God as a judge, but as a judge that will judge us fairly, equitably, judge us in accordance with his word and his truth, and to judge us in such a way as to draw us unto himself. I believe that the two words father and judge in 1 Peter here talks about the significance of our lives and way of keeping those two in extreme polarity in our lives, that we love on God. And the verses following this from verse 17 and then 18 down to verse 21 talks about how God is significant to us in way of his ransom for us from sin. Talking about the very lifeblood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That lifeblood that was not of silver and gold, of high value and esteemed so much on this earth, but of the precious lifeblood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I encourage you today that when we think of God as judge and think of him in way of fear, I think in way of taking him much as an example, if you were driving across the plains in Midwestern United States, and they got a place there called Tornado Alley, and maybe you've seen it because it's been quite frequently on the news. Usually during the summer months, late spring months, we have rampant tornadoes that go through many of these southwestern United States. If we had the chance and we were driving in our vehicle along a very flat area in the United States, and we're in one of these United States, maybe we would come upon a tornado. And I don't know if you've seen some of those tornadoes on TV, or you've seen maybe something in way of a movie like Twister or something like that. Seeing the buildup of the clouds is phenomenal. The clouds get very black and dark, and then kind of a bony finger is extended from the ceiling of those clouds, and it comes down and bends down and touches the earth. And then it doesn't just remain a bony finger, but it starts to expand and get larger and larger. And it's spinning and twisting, takes up cars and houses and barns in its process, and creates havoc and devastation. If we were so close, if we were so close to that tornado and it was approaching down the highway at us, I believe there would be a sense of awe and terror within us. Is it going to destroy us? Is it going to kill us in its process? What's going to happen to us? Thankfully, it veers off to the right and we're spared. In that place of terror, that place of uncertainty, I believe is a place where we need to be as Christians when we look at fearing God and knowing his holiness, knowing the hope that he gives us. But that fear isn't a fear that runs away because of fear for his punishment on our sin. No, our fear is more in way of directing ourselves towards that sin and running away from the sin rather than from God, who is going to bring about just and equitable punishment upon sin in our day and in our lives. God's redeeming purpose and ransom purpose in Jesus Christ is that he gives himself completely to us as a father. And though he might be scary and fearsome in way of his eternality, in His awesomeness and way of being God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, the creator that knows every intimate detail of our lives and yet still loves upon us. This God would desire us to run to Him rather than to run away and to hide, to see in Him as our Heavenly Father, but to also see in Him as our judge. And so we ought to live out our lives in holy fear and expectation. So these three things are given to us again in way of understanding that indeed we are to, above all people, be people of a deep, abiding hope and to live out of that hope that we have in God. But secondly, to be people that live in a sense of holiness. And the purpose of God is, and God's nature is holy, so thus we should also be holy and kind. And then thirdly, to live and to understand that God is one to be feared, one to look at as one to be respected and one should have awe and amazement over because of His great power, because of His great might. I think too often in our day, we take God very flippantly. And we don't have the high regard and high respect that He is due. Let's pray on that and ask God's provisions for us today. Lord Jesus, we come before You and we recognize that often we haven't sought to live in way of holiness. We haven't sought in the way Roy Hessian has told us to be living on and walking on that highway of holiness. Lord, we have rather sought out the low way, the way that isn't as painful, the way that is so easy, and the way that the worldling goes. We pray today, Lord, that You would forgive us for that, that You would draw us unto Yourself, that You would draw us unto Yourself in way of reverent fear before You, that we would know Your power in our lives to transform us, not from creatures that live merely for this earth, merely for this world, but for creatures that are called to a heavenly place, a place and a relationship with the God Almighty of this universe that has created all and knows all and yet still loves us. Lord Jesus, even come now. Rekindle us. Make us to be a holy fire before You. We pray these things in Jesus' powerful name today. Amen.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for You, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for You, my Master, ready to do Your will.
When you just lay it all out to Him right now, just ask Him to purify you. Sing this together.
Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will.
So if this is your desire today, I just invite you just to stand with me. If you choose to be holy today, if this is your desire, why don't you just stand with me and raise your hands to the heavens. Both your hands up high just to show him you surrender to him. It is our desire to follow you. Why don't you just show him that?
I choose to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. We are ready to do your will. Yes, we are ready to do your will.
It gives us hope. So let's celebrate that as we go out. He is our hope of the nations.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth.
It's a light.
Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will see. Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations.
Yeah.
Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth.
In history,
in history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life.
Come on now, hey.
You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear, our Prince of Peace,
hope of the nations is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords today.
Please be seated. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with your minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires we had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. May God give us strength. May God give us enablement to live holy lives before him. Lives that are transformed. Lives that are empowered for his glory's sake. Would you stand with me now and receive the benediction upon your lives? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and forever. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. May God bless you as you go into this week. May God strengthen you and encourage you in every way to live holy before him. Amen. Amen. Go out.